I think it is a good morning. I've heard from Pastor Keith. I think most of us are aware that 2 weeks ago Keith had a mild heart attack. And for those of you who are unaware, last Wednesday he underwent a quadruple bypass surgery at South Lake Hospital. He is actually on his way home to Uxbridge as we speak. And he wanted me to convey to everyone that he still loves everyone and is very concerned about the congregation, but feels that you're in good hands in more than one way. So please continue to pray for Keith. He still undergoes some pain, of course, but he's obviously up and walking, and Annette will be caring for him, as I'm sure all of his family and his 13 grandchildren. So keep him in your prayers, please, and definitely please send him a card at his Uxbridge address. We're expecting that he'll be off until September. So please keep him in mind. Anyone needing congregational assistance over the summer from now until Keith's return, please definitely contact Rhiannon, Tim Grant, Tammy, or myself. And our names and phone numbers are on the back of the bulletin, so please keep your bulletin handy on your fridge or whatever. You never know what might come up. And if anyone needs prayer or assistance, please feel free to call on the deacons especially. A reminder that next Saturday morning from 9 till 12, there will be a church cleanup, both outside and inside the building. So if you could join us, we would be very happy. And there will be lunch provided at noon. A church picnic is coming up the following Sunday. And please note that it will be at 10 o'clock on the premises outside as before. And there is a sign-up sheet on the pillar downstairs, so if you can bring something to add to the potluck lunch. We'll be joining the Chinese congregation. We're expecting to amalgamate with the Chinese group next year, so this will give you a good opportunity to get to know some people from that congregation. I have done a Sunday school class with some of the Chinese children a couple times now, at Pastor Chan's request. I know Keith has also done the same, and a smart group of kids. The Joy Group, as announced in the bulletin, please see Peggy Prophet today if you're planning on attending. That's this coming Thursday. And last but not least, we're getting into the summer very soon, and often our paths take different directions, and please do not forget CBC. This is a crucial time for givings, and we would certainly appreciate if you would plan to give in advance before you leave, because it's very obvious the church's expenses continue while you're away. I did forget to welcome any newcomers this morning, and I apologize. Please feel free to join us downstairs for coffee afterwards. And I especially want to welcome Pastor Murray Stovall and his wife Karen. Murray will be giving the message later in the service. So at this point, I'll turn it over to the praise team.
All who are loyal have disappeared. Everyone tells lies and no one is sincere. Won't you chop off all flattering tongues that brag so loudly? They say to themselves, we are great speakers. No one else has a chance. But you, Lord, tell them, I will do something. The poor are mistreated, the helpless people moan. I'll rescue all who suffer. So, do you ever hear anyone saying, we're just waiting on God to do something? Well, they're definitely waiting on the right person. And I feel like this congregation right now is kind of waiting on God to do something. And we're definitely waiting on the right person right now. Because God always promises that he will do something in our lives. And if your future looks bleak and the outcome looks grim, feeling hopeless or mistreated at all, we're in the right place because God will do something here. The assurance is that when we are at the absolute end of all we can do, God can absolutely do more. When we are tired, he will take over. When we begin to stumble, God will pick us up. In Genesis 20 says, all praise belongs to God Most High for helping defeat our enemies. And in Psalms 9 says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart, and tell about the wonders you have worked. God Most High, I will rejoice, I will celebrate and sing because of you. So why don't we do that now? Let's celebrate and sing because God is in our lives, and he is going to do something in our lives. If you're feeling down, don't worry. He will pick you up.
Lord, blessed be your name. Just thank you, Father, for your presence, for your goodness, and for all your promises. Your word says that your understanding is unsearchable, and you give power to the weak, and also to those who have no might, you increase our strength. For even the youths, Lord, will faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Father, we express our utter dependence on you this morning, Lord. We come here to celebrate Jesus and to thank you, Father, for this is your church. And we thank you, Lord, that your presence is welcome here by your Spirit. Touch our hearts today. Change us through the word that is spoken, Lord. And let our music and our worship be a sweet savor before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Could you turn in your hymnals, please, to number 19. This is a very short responsive reading. I'll start, and I think you will know where to continue. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will be glad and rejoice in you.
I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
You are my God,
and I will praise you.
You are my God,
and I will exalt you.
I have trusted in your mercy.
My heart rejoices in your salvation.
I will praise the name of the Lord with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you give to us. If the sun were to stop shining, we would all cease to be. If your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, were to stop shining, we would be in the same predicament. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, even life itself. So thank you for what you have given us, and we return to you a very small portion of what you've provided for us on a daily basis. Use these gifts to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. children, but would Andrew come forth, please? And any of the boys at the back would like to join Peggy for a start. Novocuros are well situated.
So, have any of you ever been afraid or scared? What scares you? What scares you? Spiders? I have a granddaughter who's afraid. You know Aaron. Well, Aaron is afraid of spiders. And I can remember when I was a kid, I was afraid of spiders too. But they don't bother me now. I've grown up. So maybe what? Pardon? Tarantulas. Well, I haven't met up with a tarantula, I'm afraid. So, but I think I might want to avoid one if I happen to see one. So, what else scares you? Ever get scared about whether you're going to do well in school? Ever afraid your team's going to lose a game? Cringe a little bit when you have to face it. There's a test coming up and you're not sure you know, or you have to get up in front of the class and say something and present something. And you have 40 fits about it. Well, you know, in the Bible there's a story too. And that story is about disciples who were afraid. Does anyone know that story where the disciples were afraid? I think you do. Never heard of them being in a boat. The waves are so big. They were afraid they were going to drown. You've heard that story. And what happened? What did they do when they were so scared? They woke Jesus up and they asked him, are you going to let us die here? And what did Jesus do? He calmed the storm, that's right. But do you know what he said to them? He said to them, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? There he was, right there with them, and they were afraid. And any time that we have some fears like that or a concern, who is with us? He is. He said, I'll be with you to the end of the earth. I will never forsake you. That's what Jesus said. And he's there all the time. Whenever we have some fears or worries or we're scared, we can always depend upon Jesus to look after us. All we have to do is ask him. But sometimes we don't remember that we can ask him, do we? We aren't thinking of that. We just can't clear our minds enough to think, oh, I don't have to be afraid like that. Remember that every day he's there, every moment of every day, no matter what's happening. Let's just pray before you downstairs. We thank you, Jesus, that you are there for us whenever we need you. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of the fact that you are there no matter what is happening in our lives. You are there to look after us. We pray, Lord, now as we go downstairs, that you have another message for us, something else. Tell us how we can be close to you.
This past week has seen the passing of two great sports legends, Muhammad Ali and Gordie Howe. We are reminded that we do not worship hockey legends or wrestling legends, nor do we worship rock stars, Prince, who left us a couple months ago, or even a queen who has served for over 60 years and has just celebrated her 90th birthday. We do not worship people. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. In my prayer this morning, will reflect my desire to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted. May I lead you in prayer. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. What about when the sun forbears to shine in our personal world? The night comes, gradually or suddenly, but at some point in our lives, it does come. The loss of a loved one, the loss of health, the loss of a job, the loss of one's life's savings, the loss of a friend who moves away, the loss of one's identity, even the loss of a church. Is life truly a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, and signify nothing? Lord, some of us have invested a huge portion of our lives in building up this church. Lord, we expected more than this as we weigh the net results of our efforts. Some of us are discouraged, depressed, and exhausted. It is time for you to act, O Lord. We remember the psalmist's words. Where can we go from your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we make our bed in the depths, you are there. If we rise on the wings of the dawn, if we settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide us. Your right hand will hold us fast. If we say, surely the darkness will hide us and the light become night around us, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Lord, it is time for you to act. And in Isaiah, how blessed are you. How blessed we are that you have chosen us. You have taken us from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corners you have called us. You have said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Lord Jesus, you have chosen each one of us here today to be a light by your Spirit, not a bearer of darkness and discouragement to our brothers and sisters, or to the world. Lord Jesus, you have authorized us as your agents of reconciliation, not barriers and creators of division that diminish our brothers and sisters. Lord Jesus, you have called us beyond the word of your word to the meat of building each other up in Christ so that your body will be equipped to stand as the creeping darkness of our culture begins to silence us. Lord, have mercy on us. O God, it is time for you to act. Father in heaven, we are desperate. Hear us as we plead for you to stay your righteous hand of judgment against us. Enlarge us for greater things, whether in this building or without it. Return Pastor Keith to us in your good time. Bless his recovery. Bless her as she waits for your healing as well. Remember those who cannot be present with us today due to illness or other reasons. Continue to protect our own Chris Craig on his 200-mile bicycle marathon ride for cancer cure today. Be with and surround the people who are suffering in Florida as the news breaks of a mass killing in a nightclub. We pray that you would be close to them and that you would enable the Christians in that area to reach out in whatever capacity they can in love as people suffer. Please surround the leadership of this church with wisdom, foresight, and support as we care for the needs of this congregation. And bless Pastor Murray, who brings us your word today. We have asked for you to act for us, Lord. Now we ask that you transform us to act on your word to each of us this morning, in whatever space we find ourselves. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we offer our praise and our petitions. Amen. This was a difficult prayer for me to write, but it's the only prayer I've ever written that I haven't had to make massive revisions. I'd like to call upon Pastor Murray. Pastor Murray is a former pastor, as many of you know, of Uxbridge Baptist, and definitely a good friend and mentor for our own Pastor Keith. So we welcome Pastor Murray.
Good morning, Christian Baptist Church. How are you out there today?
Good.
It's been a while since I've been privileged to stand before you and to share God's word, and it's always an honor. And when I come as a guest to speak in a church, it's always a quandary. Lord, what would you have me speak on? I haven't seen these people for a while. What are the issues that are there? What can I bring to them that would be helpful to them and be truthful to your word? And as I've been with you today, I've been overwhelmed by the strong sense of the Holy Spirit's coordinating and planning and preparing our time together. And I thought I was the only one. And here we are together. And I think you're going to find that some of my words today that I prepared well in advance to say to you are words that you've already heard in the service this morning. Peggy, did you look at my notes by any chance while you prepared for the children's story?
Actually, this wasn't the one I prepared in the beginning. Look at the last night this came through.
Well, it's amazing. We'll give God the credit, amen?
Amen.
And George, as you led us in prayer, you touched on those themes that I think are central to our time together in God's Word. And the worship team, singing those beautiful songs, talking about a road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, yet blessed be your name. And how we enjoy the days of our life when the world is all as it should be. I mean, that's the easy time, isn't it, friends? Our faith really doesn't get tested in the easy days of life. Say amen to that.
Amen.
We know that. You know, we're just confident. We are courageous. Life is smooth sailing. But then it's quite another matter when life suddenly turns sideways and it is not all as it should be, at least according to our plans. And how that will test our faith and grow our faith and develop us in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles to a scripture reading. I've change from what's printed in your bulletin, but it is the same account. But I'd like to use Mark's account, Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4 rather than the Matthew text. And if you'd be good enough to open your Bibles or grab a pew Bible and open to Mark chapter 4 and go to verse 35. We'll read this account together. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation just to shed a little different nuance on the text. Some of you might be in the New International Version, and there might be other versions there today, the Good News Version. But this story stands up between all of the translations because it's such a simple story. And I always believe that when Scripture contains a simple story, we should be able to get the point, because it's usually just one point that's trying to be made in the remembrance of this story. And so let's look to these God's word, and you can follow along. And we read this in verse 35, Mark chapter 4. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." That's the Galilee. He was already in the boat, because he'd been preaching from the bow of the boat. So they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm arose, and high waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water. And Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat, that is in the stern, with his head on a cushion. Not necessarily a cushion as we think of it, but a cushion would probably have been a sandbag. Frantically, they woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you even care that we are going to drown?" When he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, "Be quiet, quiet down." And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me?" And they were filled with awe and said among themselves, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you want to keep your Bibles open, I'll be referring to a few of those verses as we go along. And it might be helpful for you to use your Bible as a notebook today and be able to see what God's word would be saying. Well, you all know that life turned sideways for your pastor 2 weeks ago today. Am I right? Thank you, George, for giving us that update. And as your pastor's good friend, I was with him in hospital in Uxbridge following his first diagnosis last Sunday evening. And then his transfer to South Lake, and then the angiogram, which resulted in the discovery that he would need bypass surgery, at least a triple. And it turned out, of course, it was quadruple bypass surgery. And now he's recovering from that, hopefully managing the pain. And hopefully as we sit here, he's sitting at home or lying at home and enjoying a moment of recovery. But his life surely turned sideways. That was not a planned event. He was not prepared for it, nor were you. But God knew. And I don't know about you, but as we walk from day to day in this earth, we often tend to find ourselves caught up in the chaos of life. There isn't one of us here today, no matter how young or old we are, that we have not had to journey through some of the storms of life. Amen? Some of the adversity, some of the trials that have gone on. At one time or another, we've all had it happen to us. No one is immune from troubles. No one's immune from heartaches. No one's immune from sorrows. There's a verse that records the voice of Jesus that none of us like to remember. But it is a promise of Jesus. In this world, he said, you're going to have trials. In this world, you're going to have troubles. In this world, you're going to have chaos. In this world, you're going to have storms. In this world, your life is going to turn sideways. Well, he didn't say all of that. But that's what he was meaning. But he said, fear not, I've overcome the world in which you're living. Sometimes, like for Pastor Keith, the storms of life come up so fast we don't even see them coming. Have you had that happen to you? Something hit you broadside and your life just went, wow, sideways. What happened there? I'll tell you a physical sideways story in my life that obviously I have survived by God's grace, but it is a memory that's hard for me to shake because of the fear that was involved, Peggy, and it involved the sea. I like to go fishing. Anybody else want to admit to that? Even cash? Not one? Oh my goodness. Oh good. Yeah, you know, it's nice to get out on the lake and enjoy the lake and the nature. And had a pastor friend who was a pastor of Harmony Road Baptist Church in Oshawa. And while I was pastoring in Uxbridge, he phoned me and he said, Murray, would you like to go salmon fishing on Lake Ontario? I've never done it. I'd love to go. He said, well, I've got a deacon in the church. All deacons have a 28-foot cabin cruiser, at least it seemed like. He said, if you can meet me Monday morning, that's when pastors have their day off typically, we'll go out and we'll chase some of those salmon on Lake Ontario. I was pumped. It was kind of more like a Gilligan's Island 3-hour cruise than anything else. Well, we left the Bowmanville Marina. We went out onto the expanses of Lake Ontario. First time in a small boat for me on Lake Ontario. Have you been there? Boy, it's a big lake. And he said, we're going to have to go out about 8 kilometers to find the fish today. 8 kilometers. Okay, let's go for it. Open throttle. Away we went out onto the lake. When we got out there, we set down the downriggers and the rods and reels, and the whole thing was working just fine. And then we suddenly noticed that there was an increase in the swells of the lake. And as we looked to the west, we noticed there was a real major storm coming from Burlington. I figure I'll blame Burlington or Hamilton, coming right down the lake, right to where we were. The captain, who was an avid fisherman, was looking more at the downriggers than he was at the horizon. And all of a sudden, this storm hit us, and the sea that was once calm was now throwing up 6 to 8 foot swells. Enough so that they broke over the bow of this 28-foot cabin cruiser, and we had to turn the windshield wipers on in order to see where we were going. Now, that boat was huge when it was in the marina. It was massive. But all of a sudden, it looked like a little punt out on Lake Ontario. It was white knuckle time, I would call it. And for the first time in my boating life, ever, I was absolutely bilious, like a dog. I went to the open stern at the back of the boat, even though there's a bit of a spray there. I went there to get some air because I couldn't handle it in the cabin. And I watched our fishing rods bouncing up and down as they danced in the holders. And without warning, we were broadsided by a rogue wave that turned the boat 90 degrees. I went flying. By God's grace, I grabbed a handrail that was a vertical handrail for entering the boat, and I held on with both hands, and my body swung out, I'm sure over Lake Ontario, and the boat came back, and I got my feet back on the ground. I looked at the pastor and the captain, and I said, we are going home. Get us out of here. Well, we did that. By God's grace, we were successful, but nonetheless, we had a lot of work to do because we had to bring up all those lines and downriggers, and when we did, it looked like a plate of angry spaghetti. And then at 2 hours later, we finally made it back to the Bowmanville Marina. White knuckles, white face, fear filled. You know what the greatest feeling of my day was? I stepped onto terra firma. I got out of the boat, ran down the dock, and stood on the ground, made sure it was solid, and did it ever feel great? I was safe. What a feeling of relief sweeping over my soul on that day. You know, and life is often like that little boat, that 28-foot cabin cruiser, that we try to navigate it through the storms of life to find the safest passage possible. And when we pray, God, would you get me out of this? That's what I was praying, Lord, save us. When we enter into life's storms, we say, God, can you just build a bridge so we could go around this storm? I don't have to go through it. Could you lift me up and just transport me to the other side? And he says, no. There's a valley, and we're going to go through it together. God will often send us through the storms of life. Well, just like he permitted the young Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know those young teenagers in Scripture who had to bow down to the foreign god or suffer the consequences in the fire? I'm sure they prayed, God, save us from the fire. And he said, no, I won't save you from the fire. I'll save you in the fire. And the old man Daniel, when he faced his fear of being thrown into the den of hungry, ravenous lions, I'm sure he prayed, God, save me from the den. But God said, no, you're going in the den, but I'll save you from the lions. Praise God that he saves us in the midst of the greatest perils. The scripture we read today, Jesus' disciples faced a similar situation. They were sailing across a peaceful lake, a peaceful sea. Everything seemed well. It was near the end of the day. There was probably a setting sun. And then all of a sudden, disaster hit. It says in Scripture, in verse 24, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. And when you look at the Greek in that original language, the word that is used for the storm is a word that we recognize, seismos. Seismos. We get the word seismic, which indicates a great shaking, a violent response, a vibration. And not only that, there is a qualifier that's attached to it in the Greek. It's not just a seismos, it's a megas. Megas seismos. And we all know what a mega is. When you go through some of the drive-thrus, do you want a mega meal? You want a great meal, a big meal, over-the-top meal? So this was the Greek language. It was a mega seismos. Great, translated, furious, severe. Tremendous shaking of the boat. Now remember, most of these disciples were seasoned fishermen. So they were used to storms, but not like this one. This one, the waves were crashing over the open bow and was filling the boat with water, and they were in dire straits. And these experienced fishermen knew they could do nothing to stop them from drowning, from the boat sinking. They were in desperate need of divine help. There could be no doubts about their fate. And can you blame them? Humanly speaking, there was absolutely no way to get out of this perfect storm. Somehow the disciples assumed that since Jesus was sleeping in the stern of the boat and not attentive to their needs, he was somehow indifferent to their safety. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, we read these words from the disciples. The disciples went and woke up him, saying, Lord, save us. Now listen to what they said. Don't you even care? Don't you even care that we're going to drown? Unfazed by the violence of nature, we know that Jesus acted. He's the Lord of nature. He rebuked those winds, and the lake calmed down. And the Greek word for calm is galene. And also there is a qualifier for the type of calm that came, and it is the same word for the seismos. It's a mega galene. It was a great calm, an overwhelming calm that came upon the lake. Then Jesus turned and addressed the issue in the storm in the hearts of his disciples and saying, why are you so afraid? Why are you so anxious? Why are you so worried? Why are you so fretful? Do you still not have faith in me? Here's what I want to say to you today. Jesus is speaking that same truth to you today, to this church, to your pastor, He's speaking to you today. In the midst of these moments when life has turned sideways, why are you still anxious? Why are you so worried? Why are you so filled with fear? Why do you have so much uncertainty? Do you still not have faith in me? How would you answer him? How would you answer him? Lord, I believe, like the man who brought his son to Jesus, Lord, I have faith. Help me with my unbelief. Right? Help me with where I'm still struggling. Or you may even say, but Jesus, you just don't know the magnitude of the storm that I'm in right now. You don't know how overwhelming the chaos is. How can I possibly remain calm? And Jesus says, but I know, dear one, exactly the situation you're in, because I care for you. I am not indifferent to your needs. Your needs have not escaped my attention. I know that your lives have turned sideways, but if you'll just turn to me in faith, turn to me as your first response, I will demonstrate how much I care for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? There's a story that's told. You heard of John and Charles Wesley? Our great hymn writer, great Methodist preachers. In the 1700s, they were traveling across the Atlantic in what surely must appear today to be a rowboat. You know, like they were so small. How did they ever do that? He tells a story of a time when he was crossing the Atlantic and when he lost his nerve, when he became unglued. And during one of those several Atlantic crossings, a fierce storm broke out on the Atlantic, and it was pitching and tossing their vessel about like a bathtub toy. And while Wesley and others clung to their bunks and hid their heads, a community of Christians known as Moravians, who were traveling to their new homeland in Pennsylvania, calmly gathered to hold their daily worship services and to sing praises to their God and to pray to the God who would save them. And Wesley said, as he watched them, so apparently unperturbed by the howling winds and the crashing waves, he wanted to have the faith that they had. Do you hear me? He said, wow. Well, I don't know if he said it this way, but I think he probably felt they had a waterproof faith. You know, nothing was going to deter them. Do you know anything about Moravians? The earliest Protestant movement in the 17th century, led by a Catholic priest, John Huss, you heard of him? He led this group of Catholics from Bavaria and Moravia to return to the biblical practices of being the church. How radical is that? He wanted the church to return to those early Christian practices. He wanted the language of worship that was called the liturgy to be in the language of the people rather than Latin as it was throughout the Roman Catholic Church. And the people of the pews, you and I, would never understand a word that was being said. He wanted lay people to be in receiving both the bread and the cup when it was time for the communion service. And he wanted to eliminate papal indulgences and the idea of purgatory. In the early 1700s, there was a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the Moravians. And as a result of that, history reveals that at that time, oh, thank you, George. I guess I best put it right there, right? There was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon that movement, and as a result of that, they began to learn how to love one another as Jesus had instructed his followers to do. And also history records that one of their main achievements, listen to this, One of their main achievements in the 1700s was the establishing of what they called the prayer watch, a time of continuous prayer by the church. Do you hear me? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There was a continuous prayer watch of the people taking their turns and praying through and praying through, and it lasted. How long do you think a prayer watch would last in our society today, in the most fervent Christian community that you could find? This community or others, and they began a prayer watch of 24/7. How long do you think it could last? Theirs lasted 100 years.
Wow.
They were on the boat. Do you wonder why they continued to worship God? Sing praises to their God and pray to their God? Do you wonder why? You don't. When you are people of prayers through and through, it just continues throughout all of life's journey. And Wesley said that he, from that moment on, prayed that God would give him the ability to likewise ride out the storms with as much confidence. What made those Moravians so peaceful in the face of that tempest? Well, it's the same trait that the disciples so woefully lacked in our story today. The Moravians had an unquenchable trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and nothing could move it, nothing could shake it. The truth is this: Jesus does not promise to calm every storm in your life. Say amen to that. Do you say amen here? Once in a while. Jesus does not promise to calm every storm in your life, but Jesus does promise to calm you in every storm of your life. Sometimes Jesus calms the storm. Sometimes he lets the storm rage, and this calms the child. Those storms can come from many areas: health, finances, relationships, emotional, the list goes on. Let me tell you another personal story that happened to me. You can tell I'm a retired pastor. I look that way. But it was a long time ago that I had surgery in Henderson Hospital in Hamilton. It was so long ago that they admitted me the day before surgery. And they prepped me 24 hours in advance for the surgery. I actually met the surgeon on the evening before surgery. He actually came in and spoke to me, indicated where the surgery would be performed, and actually put some X's and O's in a black marker pen on my body. Thank you very much. So all night I kept looking at the black marks. I was a bit anxious. But I did go to sleep, and early in the morning, I was transferred to a gurney, and my charts and binder and so on were stuffed under the pillow of the gurney, and an Asian orderly came in, checked the charts, asked me the necessary questions, name and birth date and so on, stuffed it back underneath the pillow, and wheeled me down the corridor without any words. And I was lying there. You've been on a gurney in a hospital, you see as the lights going by overhead, and the guy is behind me somewhere. I don't know what he's doing. He's putting me to the right place. And came to an elevator, pushed the button, pushed me in the elevator. Elevator's door closed, absolute silence. And then he broke the silence with his voice. Do you know what he asked me? He said, "You a Christian? You a Christian?" I tried to see his face, but I couldn't. He was so far behind me. I said, "Yes, I am. I'm a follower of Jesus." And with his Chinese accent, he said, "Me too. Me too, a Christian. I just become Christian. I go to," and he named the church in Hamilton where they were having a Chinese community within a Presbyterian church. Wow. I was getting wheeled down to the operating room by a brother in Christ. That's good. Amen. That's good. And then he went through another set of doors. No more words. Operating door, I'm reading the signs overhead. Operating theaters, boom, here we go. Theaters, suites, A, B, C, D, E, F, whatever. He cues me up outside, D. Pushes me against the wall, pulls out the binder, reads it again, makes sure it's right, asks me a couple more questions, stuffs the binder back under my head. And then he says from behind me, I leave you now. And then he stepped forward from out of sight to in my full sight, and he was on my right side. And he looked down at me, and he took his right hand and he placed it on my right shoulder. And he looked me in the eye, and he said, God is with you. That's all I needed to hear. Terra firma. All the fears are... I mean, I knew that as a pastor. I'd preached it before, but now I felt it. Now I felt it because by that man's hand and his voice, God revealed his true presence to me. God is with you. Isn't that powerful? Friends, there's no reason to be panicking when Jesus is with us. There will be huge hurricanes, earthquakes, shakings that will happen that will maybe even threaten to destroy us. But when you trust in Jesus, the result will be a huge peace that will come over you like nothing you've ever felt before, even though you're in the very midst of the chaos. Sometimes God removes the chaos and allows the storm to rage. And when he does, be assured that he will calm his child, so that we can go through that storm trusting in him. Remember this, Jesus said to his followers, surely I am with you even to the end of the age. And when life's trials have turned you sideways and upside down and you're exhausted from all your activities, the Good Shepherd says, come on unto me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know what storm will come your way this week, or what storm you may be enduring at this very moment, but I know this. Even as the storm rages around you, if you'll listen carefully with your heart, you will hear the reassuring words of your Savior's voice telling you, take heart, do not be afraid, I'm still here. Storms of life will pass, but Jesus will still be there. Amen?
Amen.
That's our confidence. Jesus is not indifferent to the plight of his disciples, nor is he indifferent to your plight. Storms are part of life. No one can escape it. There are no stormless seas. And when our lives are suddenly turned sideways, we need to turn to Jesus as a first response, wherein we can find security and peace that this world doesn't know and cannot give. When our lives are turned sideways, prayer should always be our first response and never our last resort. Learn the lesson from this story of the sea and be a follower of Jesus Christ as he takes you through these days of your life. But it may appear at the moment that the storms and the waves are getting higher, but remember that he is the Lord of the sea and the Lord of nature, and he's the Lord of this church, and his eye is upon you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness to us, the reassurance you bring to us through your word. Thank you that your love never fails. Your loving kindness endures throughout all generations. Thank you that your grace and mercy flows to us in full measure day upon day. And thank you that regardless of circumstances of life, you are still with us. You'll never forsake us, nor leave us alone. In that confidence, we declare we love you, Lord. We trust in you. and we will live our lives honoring your name. In the name of Christ, we ask this. Amen. Now may the love of God the Father, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may the fellowship and communion and power of his Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each and every one of you and those whom you love, today, tomorrow, and throughout all of your tomorrows. Amen.